to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Another game in Boston, same old story. Leafs fall 4-2 to the Bruins, dropping to 5-4-2 on the season. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. And I think the most positive note, Gord, to take from this game is that we actually are going to speak glowingly about the backup goaltender, aren't we?
I don't know about glowingly, but... You know, first of all, like, what a sports night it is.
Yeah.
First game of the World Series, and our listeners just heard the Toronto Raptors, the banner raising. And we try to envision in the big picture, Nick, this being for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And after John Tavares was signed, there was a lot of acceleration in a lot of people's minds about that process. So I got to sort of park that sometimes, because tonight's a disappointing night when you're thinking about that ultimate goal. But the minutiae of things... Let's cut Michael Hutchison some slack. You're right.
35 saves.
All I can say is, okay, they talk about days off all the time, and we'll hear from Mike Babcock, getting a day off. You know what? You got to practice getting the hell out of your zone, okay? You got to practice that. And Michael Hutchison has to practice about getting in concert, about handling the puck with his fellow Leaf players. And I'm not saying that cynically or sarcastically. I'm just saying, you know, he doesn't play a lot of games. That was a big problem. That led to some goals tonight about just lack of communication or his ability or his lack of confidence that way. But, yes, we are not talking about the backup goaltender. He will, I guess, play on Saturday. Put him in the Hornets' nest again, back-to-back, Hockey Night in Canada, Montreal. There'll be no easy starts on this watch if you're the backup goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs right now.
It's like nothing happened last time they played the Montreal Canadiens earlier this season. But I think you're right. The only thing I'll add to that glowingly is there's a but. And that's everything you just noted there with the whole, lack of communication, I guess we'll call it, with the defenseman. Kevin Gravel makes his Leafs debut in this game. There was a moment, a mishap with Tyson Barrie. I understand it. Hutchison doesn't play very often, but the communication is lacking in general. Something we discussed almost ad nauseum to start this season. Exiting the zone has been a big-time pain for this team and a big reason why they started some goals in this one.
Yeah, particularly the last two games. This has been a very disappointing two games, even though they did get a point yesterday, and both games are one-goal losses. But this little bit of momentum, winning their biggest game of the year Saturday at home against the Boston Bruins, has quickly dissipated. And it's just, again, let's be red hot if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan heading into game number 81-82 and heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs, because it's going to be a long journey. And there's going to, well, Tampa Bay Lightning had no ebbs and flows last year till the playoffs, but by and large, every other team basically did. So it's just a little puzzling, that lack of simple things, which if you're coaching kids hockey about get the bloody puck out of your zone. Joe Bowen and Gerald Ralph were kind of kidding. They go, I think the Leafs must lead the lead if there's a league, if there's a stat right now about the inability to get the puck out of their own zone.
Yeah, and I think you're totally right. Like, I understand Leaf fans especially live and die with every loss and every win, but you want to be playing your best hockey when it matters most. And while this team is not playing the way we know they can play, there are some positives, Gord, I would take from this hockey game. I think, you know, a couple guys out there who have struggled so far this season. Even the bottom six guys, the third line, I thought Alex Kerfoot was good in this game.
Great game.
Kasperi Kapanen's playing with a lot of confidence the last couple.
Really is. And, you know, the D as well, as much as we mentioned the lack of cohesiveness in some ways, I've been impressed with Justin Hall. I think they have a guy there that can be in their core six. So this lack of defensive cohesiveness, maybe it goes to, it simply is, your big guns have not played the last couple of games. Wow. I mean, Matthews and Marner -2 against a Boston Bruin team that their big line, and Pasternak in particular, every time they played the Toronto Maple Leafs, are just killers. Now, last year in the playoffs, there was the ebb and flow. When the Leafs neutralized that big line, it seemed to be that was the games the Leafs won. It's almost pretty simple. It's not simple to neutralize them, but simple the formula if you're Toronto and you're going to beat the Boston Bruins. And tonight, not able to do that. And it's just, you know, the Leafs seem to be scoring some really highlight reel goals, and then they're giving up, some wicked passing, some great passing, whether it was Columbus last night, but especially Boston. tonight, but just about the inability to handle the puck properly, get the puck out of their own zone. I understand that's part of the game, but that just seems to be what's killing them right now.
That is Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation postgame. The Maple Leafs dropping a 4-2 game at the TD Garden in Boston. Should have been 5-2, but the video coach, credit to them, they got another one right for the Maple Leafs. So it was a 4-2 hockey game in general. 1-1-1 now, the record without John Tavares in the lineup. But you're totally right in bringing up the fact that, you know, there are moments where this team looks like they're ready to bust loose, and then you look at them defensively, and there's still a massive work in progress. There's a lot of mistakes being made, and it's by core pieces, too, which I think is sort of my concern going forward for this team, is guys you are paying lots of money to and guys who you're going to have to lean on quite heavily if you want to go somewhere this year.
Yeah, last night it was Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews basically led to plays. I mean, they do happen, but plays, bad faux pas that led to Columbus Blue Jackets goals. And they haven't been on their game the last couple of games that way as well. And so it's one, they're both minus twos tonight. So it is one thing when you're having a bit of an off game, you don't want your best players to be minus. I mean, part of it would be one goal late in the when they were out there. Mm-hmm. Again, at the end, man, they didn't even get a good scoring chance out.
They had nothing left in the third period.
They just, and last night Columbus was whipping by the Leafs too. And the Leafs are the great skating team. I'm doing the spitballing, thinking aloud a bit, because these last two games, I always say, let's not get the Chicken Little complex about the sky is coming down, but there's just been a lot of disconcerting stuff if you're a Leaf fan.
Yeah, they're a bit off. There's no question, and I think when you look at the third period, especially of this game, the shots 15-8 for Boston. The Leafs had the power play with 4 minutes left after Sean Corrali and the high stick, and nothing materialized on that power play. I would say a rare night where both Matthews and Marner were, I don't want to call them non-existent, but they didn't have their best games. And unfortunately, again, when those guys get paid money the way they do and how vital they are for the success of this team, it's going to be tough to win. But that's the one thing, and a big reason why the Boston Bruins, one of the cream of the crop type teams in this league, is they find a way to limit your chances. And Gord, it's fair to bring up that top line for the Bruins. They were outstanding in this game. At times, I mean, you've covered for this sport for such a long time, you got to tip your cap. And I thought for the first 40 minutes especially, they had nothing. They had no complete answer for that top line of the Boston Bruins. They had their way, but I mean, let's not pin everything on this Maple Leafs team. Every team deals with that on a nightly basis. They're one of the best lines in the NHL.
Yeah, and again, I will say probably Saturday is the one when some people argue there are no signature games. Who says there has to be signature games? But I believe there are. You have to look at some being weighted a bit heavier. And I believe the Boston Bruins should always be that team. And really, by and large, the Leafs have played the Bruins pretty well, pretty evenly.
Close, yes.
In regular season over the last number of years. You just, I don't know, it's just given what happened last year, you're kind of saying, let's get that butt kicking. Let's just get that one. You know, you go in there and you stretch your arms and you stick your chest out and you win big. You do everything right and you come out of it and you kind of put that, put them on the back burner, but put yourself in a good place again if you end up playing them again in the playoffs.
You need like a Kawhi Leonard buzzer beater against the Philadelphia Sixers to end all the misery, right?
Well, that's what you need in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's what you need in Game 7. Right now, you just kind of want
I know
want
what you mean, though.
Like
they've been, in this rivalry the last couple of years, the Maple Leafs have been lacking that sort of statement game where they go into Boston or even on home ice and beat the Bruins quite handily. Every time they do beat Boston, it's either an overtime or like a one-goal game for some reason. On the other hand, Boston has creamed them a couple times.
Yeah, and then who was it? Kevin Paul DuPont had one out there just about. And again, being an ex-general manager, I don't pick apart other guys' trades that way, or I can empathize. But, you know, it's with Tuukka Rask. Like, you know, this is a guy that they traded for Andrew Raycroft. And I never understood it in that they trade him for another goaltender.
So made no sense,
Gord. Yeah, because there was no rush. If you thought Justin Pogge was the guy, there's no problem having two guys, Tuukka Rask and Justin Pogge, for the future. Andrew Raycroft did have one decent year here. People forget that. But it just says a lot about, you know, where the things got off the track. The Leafs still haven't developed a goaltender from within. They could use a backup goaltender now, develop from within. They're still waiting, you know, hoping Justin Wall or one of those guys, but they're still a bit away. And inexplicably, the best goaltender that's got developed, they drafted, is the guy that kills them all the time on the other side.
The 500th career game, by the way, for Tuukka Rask in this 4-2 win here for the Boston Bruins on home ice against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll head down to TD Garden in a couple moments from now. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada will drop by. We'll hear from Mike Babcock and also probably a couple of the players in that locker room. But I think you're totally bringing up, especially in this week, without John Tavares in the lineup, it sounds like Travis Dermott eyeing a return maybe on Saturday. A four-game week that we had circled last week as a pivotal week for this Maple Leafs team. Granted, again, it's early, and we'll say that for a couple more games, and after that we won't. But I'm a little disappointed, I'll be honest, by the way this team's played in the first couple. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And last year, they had things going because when William Nylander came December 1st, things were all humming. And then
it got
they had
bad a, after.
Yeah, then after things went all sideways a little bit. So I understand you can't totally replicate things the way things went last year. But you'll have San Jose Sharks on Friday. Patrick Marleau will get a great ovation, as he should. And then Montreal should be a big game, even though you're tired from Friday night playing there on Saturday. But yeah, it's not, this was a team that was making more statements last year, this time this early in the season, than they are right now. And again, you know, it's how you finish, and it's how you finish the season, how deep you go in the playoffs. I get all that, but still, you got to be a little bit unhappy with, or not totally thrilled with, how things have gone so far.
I'm using a different P word tonight, and that's pedestrian.
5-4 like
and 2 record for this Maple Leafs team, and that's who you get for chirping Per Lindholm, who scores against the Maple Leafs, the 4-2 goal.
No video tribute on Saturday.
Deserves it. He deserves it. Maybe next time. So the Leafs fall 4-2 to the Boston Bruins. Coming up here on Leafs Nation, post-game, Chris Johnson from TD Garden. We'll go around the league as well, and we'll hear from some of the players in this one. Just a tough loss for the Maple Leafs. Again in Boston, rinse and repeat. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, Boston 4, Toronto 2 in the end. The Leafs didn't have much left in the third period. Michael Hutchinson was solid, though. Great story there. 35 saves. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. Let's go down to the TD Garden now and join the one and only of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. It's Chris Johnson. CJ, what did you see in this one? Clearly a back-to-back for the Maple Leafs. I thought they got a bit tired there in the third period. But all in all, there's a lot of positives, I would say, to take from this one. What do you think?
There is, and we're in this kind of tough spot, I think, when evaluating the team, because, you know, to play 11 games in 21 nights to start the year has been really difficult. You know, this was already the third back-to-back of the season, which is crazy. And so that has to be the context with which we look at this game. And you know, under that and with Michael Hutchinson and Ned, I mean, the fact that it goes into the third where they have a chance to pick up a point or even get a win is a positive. But, you know, they didn't have much of a push, you know, especially once Boston got that third goal. There wasn't a whole lot there. I don't know if that's just the fatigue of the schedule, as I mentioned, or, you know, the fact that Bruins are really good. I mean, it's tough to pinpoint exactly what it was, but, you know, there's a lot of frustration around this team. I mean, for how early it is in the year, you know, it's hard to miss it in their post-game comments and just seeing the general vibe. You know, they expect to be a much better group than they've been, and this has been a pretty pedestrian start.
Yeah, at a game like this, you're big guns as well. That's the other thing. The big guns for the Bruins come through, and the big guns for the Leafs are invisible tonight.
They were, but, you know, as Mike Babcock said, is that because of the matchup the Matthews line got, or is that because of the Matthews line? And I think that's a fair point. I mean, the Bruins top line, we've spent a lot of time on it, is, you know, I think the best one in hockey. I don't even think there's much debate at this point with just the chemistry they have. I mean, in addition to the individual skills of the players is one thing, but the fact that they just know where each other are. I mean, that the Pastrnak pass, that's been a Rama pass to Marchand on the second goal. I mean, that's special. In addition, obviously, to the individual play Pastrnak made on the first goal, taking it between his legs and beating Hutchinson. I mean, that's a special group. And so, you know, whoever you designate to go up against them isn't likely to have a very good night. I mean, they've been one of the best Corsi lines in the league since they've been together. They play a lot of offense. And, you know, they were a positive difference for the Bruins, and it was the Matthews line on the other end of that. So, you know, I don't know where to assign the blame entirely there. You know, Matthews did have a couple looks in the third period. I think Mitch Marner's struggled this year at the times and didn't make a whole lot you know, the positive plays in this game. I mean, the Leafs' dominant players, obviously, you want them to outperform the other dominant players, but, you know, that wasn't in the cards for them tonight.
Yeah, CJ, I think you're totally right in the fact that sometimes you just have to tip your cap. And that Beast top line, I mean, they're called the perfection line for a reason. They were outstanding in this one, a 4-2 win for the Bruins on home ice against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Toronto now 5-4-2 in the early going, 11 games through this season. I wanted to ask you about the lack of discipline, because clearly Mike Babcock was a little agitated, I would say, after Monday's loss in OT to the Columbus Blue Jackets. And were you stunned a bit as it continued in this game with a couple of ill-advised penalties, especially the couple there in the second period to Andreas Johnsson?
Yeah, I mean, that must have been tough for Johnsson. I mean, he really tested the coach's patience, two penalties, 52 seconds apart. Obviously, the only reason you could do that is because Pasternak scored his goal after the first one, and so Johnsson was out for the next faceoff and then took the second penalty. I mean, that will be an issue, I'm sure, that will continue to be addressed around the team. I do know this morning at the morning meeting, Mike Babcock showed the guys all the penalties they'd taken individually as part of the video session that they had there, just to try to hammer home, you know, the fact that a lot of the penalties are kind of the lazy variety, or, you know, stick fouls, not aggression related penalties, things that can be avoided. And so, you know, that will be a little bit of a sore point. I think they did a pretty good job actually in killing off a few of the power plays, the penalties they took, and not having it become the major factor in the game. But, you know, going forward, you can't have the penalty differential the Leafs have. I haven't done the math for the last four games, tonight included, but I know in each one it's been a lot more penalty kills than power plays, and that's a terrible recipe with the team with the kind of skill the Leafs have.
I know as well, you mentioned 11 games in 21 nights, so the constant thing is about days off, days off, days off. So now they'll get some, at least they'll get one practice day anyway before Friday. And I'm not being sarcastic when I say, first of all, Michael Hutchinson, who I'm not going to dump on tonight, he has trouble seemingly handling the puck, but he certainly played well as far as making saves go. But it's so out of sync with his defense in that. There were so many breakdowns that way. And part of it could be he's just not used to them. They're not used to him. And the other part is, boy, the last two games anyway, the inability to get the puck out of their own zone has been unbelievable and out of character. I mean, that's not the Toronto Maple Leaf team I know, but the last two games, it's just been unbelievable.
Yeah, it was, I mean, part of that's the pressure the Bruins bring. I mean, this is a unique environment around the league. I wouldn't say too many buildings have an effect on the opposing team truly, but this is one of the ones that I think does. I mean, it's loud in here. I think there's a few ghosts hanging around, if at least we're to be honest about, you know, some of the things that have happened here. I mean, the last two seasons have ended on this ice surface. For a lot of guys, this would be their first trip back in since Game 7, probably basically all of them, any, you know, except for the guys that have been newly added over the summer. But, you know, this is a tough place to play, and they didn't play that well. You know, I thought Hutchinson actually battled pretty good. I'm with you. I'm not looking for reasons to bury this guy. I think that he's been put in a really tough spot with the back-to-backs and some of the opponents he's had to face, the games he's been in. And, you know, I love that save he makes on Anders Bjork there in the second period when Riley took the penalty. You know, I thought he had the Leafs in a position to win. You know, even the winning goal, you know, I think he's a little unlucky that the brush shot hit Hall's foot and just stayed there. It was kind of a broken play where obviously he opened up, you know, anticipating a shot on net, and then Richie came in really quickly behind and put that in. So, you know, this is not one that he wears. I mean, it's still a loss in the personal column, and I don't think that the questions about his security with the team are going away after a game like this. But, you know, I don't believe that this one is a case where Michael Hutchinson gave it away. He was in a tough spot, and, you know, he also made a number of good saves to give the Leafs a chance to make a push in the third period.
I agree, and looking at some of the lineup changes in this game, Nick Petan comes in. The one I want to ask you about is on the back end. Marty Marincin, unsurprisingly, I would say, not playing in this game, and it's Kevin Gravel, his Maple Leafs debut. What did you make of it?
Well, I thought it was pretty quiet, and that's a good thing. I think when you're basically in the role that Kevin's filling as a sixth defenseman, and you're right, Marincin's one of the guys that's taken a few penalties in the recent games. You know, has struggled pretty mightily, and you know, I would say, you know, with some roster moves expect to be made here in the next week or two, you know, his spot on the team is far from secure. So he couldn't have liked too much seeing Gravel get in there, another left shot option for them. And, you know, I thought it was pretty good. You know, I don't have any strong impressions of his game. But I think the fact that it's not sticking in my mind is him handling the puck like a grenade all night or anything like that, that, you know, there's at least a chance he'll get, you know, the call again on Friday, because, you know, we do know Travis Dermott could be back as soon as Saturday's game in Montreal. But the same group of players that were on the ice here will be playing the Sharks at home on Friday. And I think Gravel did enough to at least get another look from the coaching staff.
You know, boy, it's going over it. You're one of the best at going over all these things. When you mentioned Dermott coming back, when Zach Hyman comes back, they are so against the cap that really they're going to have to do a clearing sale and almost carry no extra players. I mean, there's a real challenge coming up in the next week or so, and a real fight to see if you survive in the NHL or you get waived or go to the Marlies.
Yeah, it's not a comfortable time, I would suggest, for most of the players around the depth end of the roster. And, you know, the Leafs are carrying a lot of wingers. I think Frederick Gauthier is secured his spot, so he's probably not really in that mix. But, you know, the bottom few defensemen as well. And you know, it's a reality. I mean, the Leafs were ready for this. It's not a surprise for them in terms of their planning. In fact, I think a big part of the reason they brought in a lot of players making between 675 and 800,000 on the cap is just anticipating this as an issue. And you know, the truth is they're probably going to play a game in the not too distant future with less than the full lineup, just because they aren't able to carry those extra skaters. And given the nature of the sport and the schedule and all those things, they're likely to encounter some injuries and they'll have to play a game with 17 skaters or something like that at some point. But, you know, that's why the guys making the money, I think, you know, you want to see a little bit more out of them as this season continues to go along, because that's how they earn those contracts. And I'm not here to go back and have a referendum on each of them or anything, but, you know, when you're paying $33 million, give or take, to three forwards, and obviously one of them and John Tavares is out of the lineup tonight in the last few games, you know, you need those guys to carry the mail, because you're just not going to be able to have the kind of depth that other teams do. You're not going to be able to have a backup like Yaroslav Halak, you know, that they have in Boston here, which has formed such a great duo with Tuukka Rask the last season and a bit. And so, you know, those are the challenges the Leafs have, but, you know, they also have a lot more skill than most of the teams they go up against. I think even against Boston, you know, obviously that top line for the Bruins is it's on its own level. But after that, you know, I think guys like Kapanen and Kerfoot should be making a difference against the Bruins. I don't think the Bruins have as much offensive depth as Toronto does. Didn't shine through or prove itself to be the case in a game like this one, but it's a long season, and you know, the important thing for the Leafs is that they're ready to beat Boston a few times in April, you know, more than on a back-to-back here tonight.
Very well said, Chris. Awesome job as per usual, and we'll talk on Friday night when the Maple Leafs host Patrick Marleau and the San Jose Sharks. Thanks for this.
All right, no problem, guys. Thank you.
Take care. That's Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Again, the Maple Leafs falling 4-2 to the Boston Bruins at the TD Garden. I tell you, every time they lose to Boston, especially in Boston, I just got a bitter, sour feeling in my stomach, you know?
Well, it's and Chris just mentioned that it's certainly shared by the players, and this is kind of a haunting task. Like, you know, where bad things happen to you is something you try to avoid, whether it's something professionally or personally. And so there's an element of that. And then that's why, you know, I kind of wanted to see that big game that it doesn't rid you of all the playoff ghosts, but just since you're going to play them so much, it'd be nice because they did get back on track in regular seasons. They've had, like I said, up till last year, some really good regular seasons against them. They have to bring your predecessor back, Mark Savard, because when he waved the banner that night, the Leafs kicked butt, right? That
you're
was
right.
The one time in the playoffs. And I certainly understood Savvy's personal journey, and I applauded about coming full circle about the whole concussion thing. It was unusual and interesting timing. And I think what kind of saved it was the Leafs won that game big. So it kind of tied a bow on it. The Leafs won. He got his journey out of the way and he came back to doing the job that you've supplanted him.
Yeah, I would say it was pretty funny as just a neutral observer to watch Mark Savard wave the flag for the team that his team he's covering is playing against. But story of another day, and I think you're right. They won that game, so it doesn't matter. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. We're going to hear now from the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock.
for saying it was a game to be had, but problems in that third period, trouble breaking out of your own zone and then maintaining offensive possession once you did get it down there?
Well, I actually thought we started real good in the third there. We hit the post or the crossbar. I thought we started good in the third. You know, it was one of those games, it was a grind the whole thing. Wasn't much room for the team. I thought we hung in there great. You know, in a back-to-back, that's what you want to do. I thought we were set up perfect. Went in the third. Mickey rung one off the bar there, and I thought we were going good. And once they got theirs, I didn't think we had anything after that. Even though we had a power play there late, we didn't get anything done on that power play. You know, so that part's disappointing. I liked our effort. I liked our preparation. I liked the plan the guys had and the way we went about it. And in the end, the game was right there in the third period, which you want in the balance, and we were unable to get it done.
What was your grade of the year? Grade's not the right word, Mike. What did you think of the Matthews line tonight?
Well, I just, you know, I mean, they're playing against a good line. So which part's the good line and which part's them? You know, we've talked about this a number of times over the years, who should play with who. And but in the end, is your dominant players got to be dominant players for it.
How do you feel our lineup changes work tonight? You know, Bumman Goat up and
I thought that was that the Goat line was pretty good. I thought Kapanen might have been our best forward, to be honest with you. So I thought that was good. I thought Pete had a good game for himself too. And you know, Shorzy and those guys did what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to keep it close and do, you know, be good defensively and give your players that generate the offense a chance to win the game for you.
The guys are pretty down on themselves, it seems, the last couple of nights.
Well, I think down on themselves, what do you mean by that?
Just in their post-game conference.
Like after.
Very hard on.
Well, I think last night we should have been. I don't think tonight we should be. You know, so last night probably deservedly so. And then tonight I thought we had a better effort. I don't think it maybe was the most beautiful hockey game to watch, but on this back-to-back playing a good team, I thought it was set up perfect to grind fest for us to give ourselves a chance. So, you know, I think they probably weren't wrong last night. I think tonight they're wrong. It's just keep grinding and keep finding ways.
Did Hutch give you enough to get you to the third period?
Well, I just thought that, you know, we needed to get another one for him, obviously. You know, it's unfortunate that we haven't been able to help him get a win. You know, he's been in a situation with these back-to-backs. Obviously, haven't given him a real good opportunity. But, you know, tonight I thought he made some saves for us.
There is Mike Babcock, the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. At times, I think, reluctant to sort of get all over his team. And he picks his battles because I think he was fair in his analysis that Columbus, that game on Monday, they should have been disappointed by their effort, although they did pick up a point. And then in this one in Boston, I think he comprehends it was a back-to-back. They didn't have much going in the third period, I thought.
Yeah, kind of a sense about, you know, and Chris Johnson's the one mentioning the players are kind of down, and he's, yeah, you know, you don't want that to happen and fester. It's also a place of hurt, as he mentioned. These are hurtful memories for a lot of the players, so no need to rub salt into it. So I thought his assessment there was bang on. Now, it's interesting because you go back to what Chris Johnson said. So when we talk about Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner, so they make the minimum, or they make the entry level salary for the first 3 years. Now they each get paid $10+ million per season. So like over a tenfold increase. And by virtue of that, we have certain expectations, which we should have. But also by virtue of that, doesn't make them wake up one morning and go, I'm really going to try harder because I'm making all this money compared to how I played before. So we understand that. But if you're making commensurately more money than the Boston big line, like so Chris just said, well, they're out against the big line. Yeah, but you're supposed to be the big line. Like, you're the big line. You're not the kids anymore. You're the big line. And they had you for dinner, lunch, and breakfast tonight. So that's the kind of thing along the way that if they're going to play together, whatever it is, you are the big guns. I know they know that. Don't get me wrong. It's not that, but I mean, it's a different expectation or reality that we have on those guys now.
And we said that back on Saturday too. That if you were to look and model your game after one line in the NHL, if you are a line or a star player, it's probably that top line of the Boston Bruins. How every night, and maybe it's not even just against the Maple Leafs; it's against every team. They seem to bring it in all facets of the game and are, you know, so professional in how they play on a nightly basis. And I think at this point in time, if it's my analysis is fair on Toronto's big guys, I'm notwithstanding John Tavares, I think there are moments and lapses in their games. And I think you're totally right. When you're making this type of money, you have to be your best all the time. But let's not forget these guys are still young in their careers and they're still learning, right? We do forget that, how early and how young they are making the big money. But I think you're right. You have to elevate your game to that next level where you're that force 24/7.
Yeah, and Boston is the gold standard right now, because that's the team that they've not been able to get by. That's the team that we, as fans and media, criticized Auston Matthews not getting enough ice time, and then he doesn't do so much tonight when he gets decent ice time. You know, Mitch Marner has had uneven playoffs as well. He had one phenomenal game last year in that. But anyway, it's the kind of thing, it's a learning process. The Bruins were kind of about this stage, 3, 4, 5 years experience. You know, these guys, when they started winning, when they won that Stanley Cup, or started being an elite team. And so you just kind of want to get to that next level on a more consistent basis for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Another thing I think that's hurting this team's mojo in the last couple games specifically is the amount of penalties and the dumb penalties at that in the offensive zone. Like Johnsson had a couple, as I mentioned in the CJ interview in the second period. That, for me, would kill the momentum of a player on that team looking to provide some offense. And I think it comes full circle to everything Mike Babcock has said the last couple days in terms of discipline and these ticky-tack type penalties, whether whether they're warranted or not. I think it kills the flow of a game, especially if you're a big-time player, especially if you're in Toronto's top six. You want to get your feet under you, and next thing you know, for some time that you don't want to be on the bench, you're on the bench because your team is putting so much stress on the penalty killers.
Well, they did get two opportunities in the third period, albeit late, and Marchand's was really late because it was sort of 4-2 at that point. But you saw that, so they're even on penalties tonight. Both were four power play opportunities each. And you mentioned the two Johnsson penalties. Then after that, Muzzin and Morgan Rielly took traditional defenseman good penalties, if you want to call it. But Mike Babcock read aloud the sermon from the mount last night of all the last couple of games and those penalties. And Chris Johnson just said he went over video-wise, they went over it all again about these are those ticky-tack. And again,
they're lazy. Let's be honest. You know?
And there was a part we took issue with the officiating last night, which I'll still take issue about.
Yeah.
But that's a point. Those, you should not be getting offensive zone stick-related penalties.
Once again, the Leafs falling 4-2 in Boston to the Bruins. Still to come here on Leafs Nation postgame. We'll hear from some of the players, maybe Alex Kerfoot, Michael Hutchinson. Kasperi Kapanen's been very, very solid the last couple games, and that's huge news, especially without John Tavares in the lineup. The Leafs falling to 5-4-2 on the early season. It's Nick Alberg and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
No qualms with the backup goalie on this night. Leafs fall 4-2 in Boston, but Michael Hutchinson was steady. He made 35 saves. Leafs Nation postgame continues, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. It's Nick Alberg and Gord Stellick with you. You can find us on Twitter at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick. And that was our wonder going into this night. Would we talk a lot about Michael Hutchinson negatively? And I guess the good news is even the fact the Leafs lose this game, Gordon, not too bad.
Yeah, we don't, it's not like the teacher is extolling his virtues. It's like he got a close to a 60.
Although, got a hall pass,
although they mark easier nowadays, so I don't know what to, anyway, the he's in a tough spot. We were very hard on him last time, and we should have been.
Yeah.
There's still an awkwardness about covering pucks and working on the mechanics with his teammates, but yes, he made some saves tonight.
We threw him into the fire. No, I shouldn't say we. Mike Babcock threw him into the fire in the back-to-backs, but it is what it is, and he'll play Montreal, we expect, on Saturday night at the Bell Center. Meantime, let's hear now from Michael Hutchinson.
Mike, you talked about wanting to give the club a chance to compete. It seems like you did there tonight. Did you feel in a groove, saw pucks, and able to get the glove hand actually working very, very well?
Yeah, I thought he was seeing pucks well. He was making good reads. Boston likes to throw a lot of seam passes in, and a lot of passes out into the slot, and I felt like I was on top of it and able to get good reads and get my body behind most of it tonight.
What made their top line so effective every time they were out there?
They're just hard on the pucks. They're all they seem to have really good chemistry, knowing where they are in the ice. And they said they like to throw seam passes where it almost seems like they're hope plays or like blind plays, but there's a guy right there. And once you get them, all three guys on their line can shoot too. So they're definitely a dangerous line. And
Freddie was making the point the other day that getting used to new defensemen is it's a process, and you're playing less than him. Just what's it like, the communication and I guess puck handling from your perspective?
Yeah, it's always a bit of a challenge at the start of the year. You know, there's new faces on the back end. I'm relatively new to team two. So yeah, it's just continuing to work on it and communicate off the ice. You know, after games, in between stoppages, trying to sort it out as quickly as possible teams like to dump the puck in, and they forecheck so hard now that you have to have good communication between the goalie and the D to have a chance to make a clean play and get it out. So it's one of those things, just work in progress, and it's something that in the third period I felt like we or at least I could have done a better job making some plays, it's one of those things we'll continue to work on.
Like the Pastrnak goal, are you even expecting him to try that?
No, yes, he has so much time there that, my first kind of read was that he was going to, when he was pivoting that way, try and bring it full, far side. So that's kind of where your head's at, and, you expect him to do that, maybe cut back, but, kind of going through the legs is the last thing you kind of expect, and, he's able to make a good play.
What happened on the harsh hand goal or basically back?
Oh, yeah, that was just quick communication. I couldn't tell because the puck kind of got tipped on the way in. So with that new face-off rule, when the pucks come past the red line. So I was just trying to make a play on it, and, I heard him yell, but I guess he wanted me to go over the other side. But as soon as the puck was bobbling, as soon as I heard him yell, I thought he wanted it. And, that was on me. I needed just to make a better play and, take a little bit more time on that one. But, it was unfortunate that after that, they got some momentum and, Marchand was able to get a good shot away.
There is Michael Hutchinson, 35 saves in this 4-2 loss in Boston against the Bruins. We go now. First and foremost, I wanted to get your opinion on Alex Kerfoot, because we talk about guys having to elevate and produce, especially in the absence of your captain, John Tavares, and so far so good. And a 1-1-1 record here without JT, the captain, but more so Kerfoot, I think, has really stepped up his game. He has 2-1 in three games since Tavares went down.
Yeah, I really like the addition from the word go. Very underrated player, I thought. So a great fit. One goal, one assist, 2 points. He was plus one. Two shots on net. He probably was their best player.
Let's hear now from Alex Kerfoot.
Do you like the club's compete level tonight, Alex?
Yeah, at times. But, I think we still got more to bring. But, we talked about putting the full 60 together, and I don't think we're there yet. But, at times it was good. And at other times, I thought we had lapses. I thought that we turned the puck over a little bit as well. And that can, against a team like that, that can cost you.
What's it going to take to get there, do you think?
I think it's just 7-9. It's a long season. We've still got a long way to go, but there's one thing we can do.
These back-to-backs tougher earlier this season. Like, it's going to be the point that, first of all, you've had a few of them, and early in the year you're not quite in a rhythm. Does it feel that way at all?
Yeah, I think back-to-backs are always tough, especially when you're coming in against a team that's not up in the back-to-back. I mean, we're traveling that night, it's tiring, but at the end of the day, we're used to it, we're professionals, and it's no excuse. We gotta be ready no matter the situation. We gotta find a way to get points in this.
What did you think of Hutch's game here?
I thought he was great. I loved it. I mean, he made some unbelievable saves. He did everything that we needed of him to keep us in it. And I mean, they had a lot of really quality looks that he looked really good on.
You've been bumped up the lineup, obviously, since John's been out. How do you feel like the adjustment's gone more role for you?
Yeah, I think I've got more to bring. I mean, I think that there's still things I think that I would like to clean up, some turnovers, some play in the defensive zone. I think that still getting adjusted to that, but just being harder on pucks, not giving up as many chances when you're out in the ice.
There is Alex Kerfoot, 1-1 in this loss to Boston. Another guy up front for Toronto that I thought had a really, really strong game was Kasperi Kapanen, Gord. And it's been sort of something we've been seeing the last couple now. 3 goals and 3 assists over the last 4 games for Kasperi Kapanen. And we're seeing a lot of things that has made him successful early in his career, especially using his speed right now.
Yeah, and he didn't fit in with Auston Matthews. Did he? Early he was -6 at one point, and it just seems he goes back to the kind of line he's usually on. I think of him getting that overtime goal against the Washington Capitals in the playoffs, like way back when he just had come up from the Toronto Marlies. And another one of his endless supply of solid young forwards, and that's what makes it frustrating when you don't get to that next level. It takes a lot of other things to get to that next level, but you really legitimately feel, especially up front, you have that talent pool.
So Kasperi Kapanen, another goal and an assist in this game, unfortunately came in a loss, but let's hear what he had to say post-game.
I like the way the club was able to bounce back, especially in the latter half of the first period, once they got things going and you tie the game and put yourself in a position at least to win tonight's game.
Yeah, I mean, we put ourselves in that position to win with a couple goals in the second, but we can't keep letting teams beat us in the third and come back against us like Columbus did. So it's disappointing. These are big points for us, especially against Boston. You know, we played a lot against them, and we'll gonna keep playing a lot against them. So didn't have enough today.
What was the difference in your mind, Jesper, in the third period?
I just don't think we spent enough time in the offensive zone and weren't heavy on pucks, and they kept on breaking out and applying pressure to our D, and we spent a lot of time in our zone, and eventually they're going to score when the flow of the game goes like that. So like I said, it's just a little disappointing, but off day tomorrow and kind of regroup and have our mindset on the next game.
I know it's still early in the year, but where's the level of frustration at? It seems like you guys have been pretty hard on yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, you always want to start the season off well, and I think our team hasn't got off to the start that we've quite wanted, and a lot of games that we've been losing, by a goal or in overtime. So, those are the important games where you want to win and get that extra point, but just hasn't been going for us that way right now.
From an emotional standpoint, is this one a little bit more frustrating considering the history between these two teams?
Yeah, but I don't think it really matters who you play against. You always want to win games, and going in the third period tied up, and just going to do that.
A very calm, cool, and collected Kasperi Kapanen. And last but not least, I just want to get your analysis on Jake Muzzin against Columbus on Monday. Gord, he wasn't very good, but I would say he responded big time in this one. He was probably Toronto's best defenseman, I'd argue, in this one.
I thought he was. And, Nick, you're right. It's funny, against Columbus, he gets a little discombobulated sometimes, yeah. And it's almost like he's in overdrive all the time.
Trying to do too much, yeah.
Love his intensity, love all he does, and he had some... And you can see it. He wears it, right? And I thought tonight he wore just good plays. Like he made some really, and even the penalty he took was a good penalty because it was a screw up again, breaking out of the zone. The continued frustration and inability to get out of your own zone. But I thought the Golden Muzzy, your twin Golden Muzzy, was on form.
I'm forced to love Jake Muzzin just more so of his last name, but I think he's obviously going to be rather good for this team to overcome not only Boston but get somewhere in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Here's Jake Muzzin.
Kathy was just talking about the difficulty of gaining some traction in that third period and building what you were able to do in the second. What did things maybe come away from you here tonight?
tough building, tough team. I think we got in a little trouble we were getting stuck in our zone and we weren't cleaning our breakouts. And, a little more communication, I think, goes a long way. And, we spent less time in our zone. We fought hard, just came up a little short.
How much has all the new faces, a lot of change in the roster coming into the season, impacted the way you guys have come out at the start of this year?
Yeah, there's always, difficulties with new people, new system to the guys, and, little battles and little challenges that we have to overcome. So we're working our way through it.
See any improvement from last night? Obviously, pretty clear defensive frustrations with the team.
Yeah, I thought our intentions were better. I thought, we played hard. I think we just got to be a little cleaner coming out of our zone. I think that was a big issue tonight.
All right, there you have it. Jake Muzzin, a 4-2 loss for the Maple Leafs in Boston. Gord, why don't we take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard now? A lot happening clearly on this Tuesday night in the NHL world. How about Minnesota on home ice take care of the Edmonton Oilers? Devan Dubnyk a bit banged up in that game. Alex Stalock comes in, but Mike Smith, 27 stops. Eric Staal, a couple of goals. And former Edmonton Oiler Brad Hunt, fourth of the year. And Gabby Boudreau seems to have his team going in the proper direction now.
It's funny. Most teams have bent but not broke, have they?
Yeah.
And certainly Minnesota Wild there. That's, and back-to-back wins at home. They did way better on the road than at home last season. So everyone's pulling for Gabby. And I think Jason Zucker's remarks and Bill Guerin being calm about things, I think, helped the situation. And another team in I mentioned, what a big win for Nashville against Anaheim, 6-1.
Yeah.
In that, probably they had reverse records if you predicted the start of the year. The Ducks a better start, Anaheim a so-so start, but that's a big win at home for the Nashville Predators, 6-1 over the Ducks.
I think things do normalize over an 82-game season as well. The Vancouver Canucks, how about this? A five-goal outburst in the third period to take down Detroit 5-2. Arizona wins in OT in New York, a 3-2 win for the Coyotes, a 5-2-1 start for them behind a Christian Dvorak OT winner. The Florida Panthers 4-2 over the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Buffalo Sabres scored, continue to roll, 8-1-1. They come from behind down 2-0 in the first period, and Jack Eichel had a monster night. 2 on the game, number 6 on the year from Ristolainen and Mittelstadt. The OT win for Buffalo, 4-3 against San Jose.
Yeah, Sharks will be here on Friday, and the Buffalo Sabres, they did this last year, a lot of one-goal wins as well, but fans are saying, geez, I've got to be kind of tentative, I'm worried, but it seems like Ralph Kruger, it's a little more real this year with the Buffalo Sabres, so good on them. Florida getting points, you know, it's in the East. These are the kind of teams, and the Leafs, because they're starting slowly now, are getting a bit of a logjam in the Eastern Conference standings.
And Gord, a perfect segue to Friday night. Join us for Leafs Nation pregame starting at 6:30. It's the Maple Leafs and Patrick Marleau and the San Jose Sharks. By the way, Marleau had a couple more points in that game against Buffalo.
And there will be a tribute.
Yeah.
There's no question, like Par Lindholm coming back last Saturday. So good on, hey, everyone's happy for Patrick Marleau.
Yeah. Not too happy tonight. The Maple Leafs fall 4-2 in Boston to the Bruins and a 5-4-2 record out of the gates in the first 11 games. Again, join us coming up on Friday night for Leafs Nation, 6:30. It's Toronto and the San Jose Sharks. Many thanks to Gord Stelick. I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks so much to Show Ali, Kyle Norris, and Andrew Holland. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.